Thank you. Good evening. My job tonight is to introduce our esteemed speaker, so I'm not going to detain you very long. We've all come here to hear Congresswoman McKinney. But before I start, while we were waiting to get started, I was reading the news, and I read in Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper, story they just put up. It says, Israel Defense Forces soldiers raided the International Solidarity Movement's Ramallah office yesterday for the second time this week, confiscating computers, T-shirts, and bracelets engraved with the word Palestine. Now, this is the first time I heard that T-shirts and bracelets were a mortal threat to the Israeli occupation. So it's a good job that they have some outside. So make sure to get your T-shirts and, of course, your bracelets in black and white. Cynthia McKinney has made a career of speaking her mind and challenging authority. She began on day one of her political life and hasn't looked back. With her opinions, actions, and even her sense of style, Ms. McKinney has inspired both admiration and controversy. In 1992, McKinney won a Democratic seat in the U.S. House of Representatives in the newly created 11th District, which stretched from Savannah, Georgia, to Atlanta. She was the first African-American woman to represent Georgia in the United States Congress. Her gold tennis shoes, I don't see them tonight. Her gold tennis shoes and braided hairstyle became her trademark and effectively gave her a higher profile on the predominantly white male House floor. Though a Democrat, during President Clinton's tenure, she did not simply follow the party line, as when she voted against NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. During her second term, her district was redrawn and renumbered as the fourth. She protested the new boundaries, but was still re-elected to the seat. She was a supporter of Palestinian rights and a Palestinian state in the Israeli-occupied territories and sparked controversy by criticizing American policy in the Middle East. After 9/11, Congresswoman McKinney suggested the president had received prior warnings. The criticism she received as a result, combined with being targeted by the pro-Israel lobby, contributed to her defeat in 2002. However, she ran for the seat again and was re-elected in 2004. Ms. McKinney was a vocal critic of the government's response to Hurricane Katrina. And when Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi encouraged a boycott of a select bipartisan committee to investigate Katrina, Ms. McKinney chose instead to participate and submitted her own report. As a member of Congress, she continued her criticism of the Bush administration and introduced legislation to release the documents related to the murders of Martin Luther King Jr. and Tupac Shakur. She was the first member of Congress to file articles of impeachment against George W. Bush and voted against every war funding bill put before her. Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney has never been afraid to speak her mind and stand up for what she believes in. Late in 2007, she left the Democratic Party to take her energy and ideas to the whole country by becoming the Green Party's presidential candidate. Last summer, McKinney joined 21 other people attempting to reach the Israeli-blockaded Gaza Strip in Palestine on a boat organized by the Free Gaza Movement. The ship, The Dignity was hijacked in international waters by the Israeli Navy, and Ms. McKinney and other passengers were kidnapped and taken prisoner to Israel. She was held in jail for more than a week before being expelled to the United States. When speaking about her time in the Israeli jail on her return, Ms. McKinney said, "The first most interesting thing that I witnessed was the seemingly endless stream of people of color who were being processed as we were being processed." I guess she could have been talking about any jail here in Illinois or across the United States. This was Congresswoman McKinney's second attempt to reach Gaza. The first time, the boat she was on nearly sank after being rammed on the high seas by the Israeli Navy. Last summer, when Ms. McKinney and the other passengers were imprisoned in Israel, the governments of Ireland and the United Kingdom appealed for the immediate release of their citizens. The United States, however, remained silent. I would like you to just think for a moment what the reaction of the United States government would be if any other country, and perhaps any other member of Congress, had been kidnapped on the high seas by another country and taken ashore and imprisoned for trying to deliver humanitarian supplies to people in need. When asked why she kept trying to reach Gaza, Ms. McKinney said, "I would like to see the children of Gaza have the coloring books and the crayons that we had on board with us. I would like to see the houses that have been destroyed rebuilt. I would like to see the lives rebuilt of the people of Gaza." In the United States in 2010, those who issue such simple calls for justice and humanity for Palestinians are often ignored, dismissed, demonized, or maligned. While those who call for weapons to be shipped, or bombs to be dropped, or predator drones to be fired on this or that country are called policymakers, thinkers, strategists. We may even have some here at the University of Chicago. It's fitting to recall here the scale of what happened in Gaza 1 year ago. More than 1,400 people, the vast majority innocent civilians, and 400 of them children, the youngest an infant of 1 month old, were killed in an Israeli attack that lasted 22 days. Here, in this educational institution, let us recall that of Gaza's 641 schools, 18 were completely destroyed and 280 damaged by American-supplied bombs dropped from Israeli aircraft. University classrooms, dormitories, and laboratories were also bombed and destroyed. In this university, where we claim that the freedom to learn, to study, to think is the most sacred, let us also remember that 250 students and 15 teachers were killed in those attacks. In the 1 year since the Israeli attack, only 41 trucks, an entire year, of reconstruction supplies have been allowed by Israel into the Gaza Strip. This compares with more than 7,000 trucks a month of construction supplies that were entering Gaza prior to the Israeli blockade to meet the housing and other needs of Gaza's growing population. This means the war on the Palestinian people in Gaza continues every day, as tens of thousands of people remain displaced from houses that cannot be rebuilt, as students learn in classrooms without windows or books because Israel bans both from entering Gaza, as patients die because they do not get the care they need, as an entire society of 1.5 million people is isolated by the Israeli occupation regime as a form of collective punishment. Some of you may know that I was among more than 1,000 activists who just attempted to reach Gaza as part of the Gaza Freedom March in December. We did not make it. We learned that Gaza today is harder to visit than a maximum security prison. In the wake of Israel's attack in Gaza and the truths told about it in the Goldstone report, more people are willing to hear and speak about what is happening in Palestine. Whether it is the continued house-by-house Israeli government-sponsored ethnic cleansing of East Jerusalem, the night raids and arrests of leaders of the growing non-violent struggle to resist the apartheid wall and land confiscation in the West Bank, political prisoners like Abdullah Abu Rahme, Jamal Jum'ah, and Muhammad Uthman, and many others who were arrested, kidnapped in the night from their beds in front of their families for the crime of organizing non-violent resistance against the occupation. Or indeed the persecution of Palestinian citizens of Israel and their leaders. But even as the US government remains silent, taboos are being broken. In recent weeks, for example, 54 members of Congress signed a letter to President Obama asking him to pressure Israel to lift the blockade of Gaza, although I note that not a single Chicago area member of Congress signed that letter. Nevertheless, 54 members of Congress could fill up a room, and that's a good start. But remember this, Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney was speaking out already years ago when it wasn't safe to do so. She was a pioneer then, and she's a pioneer now. I have the distinct honor and privilege of introducing her and asking you to join me in welcoming her to come up to the podium and address us.